This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can listen to us on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. We've got Scott Abraham from ABC7 joining us at 9 as we get back into Commanders Ravens. But joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, where you can custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Morning, John.
Morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
John, do you feel the buzz, the growing buzz here in Washington for Jaden Daniels?
Yes. But I thought you guys were going to play me in with Meet the Mets.
I know. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
That's where the buzz is with the Mets.
There is real buzz with the Mets at the moment. It's because it happens so rarely, and the way they've been doing it, you know, coming from behind and Lindor's heroics and scaring the hell out of me in the ninth inning after Diaz walked the first two batters and then had to face one of the better home run hitters in baseball with two outs, and struck him out. And by the way, how'd that trade work out for the Nationals? I'm just wondering.
You tell me.
not well.
How improbable is this from where they were?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, they were 11 games under 500. They had, I think, the worst record in the National League at the start of June. And I thought they were dead in the water. I think a lot of other people thought they were dead in the water, and they turned it around. And when they turned it around was when they put Lindor in the leadoff spot. That seemed to change everything. I mean, first of all, he was great. He's going to finish second in the MVP voting, as he should. And then the rest of the lineup perked up, and the starting pitching got better. And they had the best record in the National League the last 2 months of the season, and people have been talking about, oh, how the Phillies let down and all of that. And I can understand people in Philly feeling that way, but the Mets were the better team the last 2 months of the season than the Phillies. So this shouldn't be that big a shock. A surprise, but not that big a shock. And, you know, the way they won game one, coming from behind late, and then game three, they were in control all the way. And game four, first five innings, I thought they were never going to score a run. They had like 82 base runners and couldn't score. And then Lindor changed it all with his grand slam. Just as someone who's been a Mets fan since I was 5 years old, think about how long that is. This has been a great ride. A lot of, regardless, my brother, who's also a Mets fan, said to me on Wednesday night after they clinched, I said, you know, I hope they can beat the Dodgers or the Padres. And he said, I don't care. At this point, I'm just so happy with what's gone on. I don't care if they lose. Now, I'm not that way. I still want them to win, but I understand what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a discussion earlier on this show, bringing it back to the Commanders, where EB actually said,
kind of a similar
doesn't
thing.
Mind a loss so long as Jaden Daniels continues to play well. Is right. that flawed thinking?
I don't think so. And usually I think EB's thinking is flawed.
We've agreed a lot lately, John.
I'm worried. I'm concerned. you know, I think that I was in D.C. on Tuesday for Jane's volleyball game, and I listened to a lot of sports talk radio going back and forth. And what I kept hearing was that this is like the biggest game since Joe Gibbs' last Super Bowl. It's the sixth game of the season. They're playing a good team. I don't think the Ravens are a great team. I mean, Joe Burrow carved up their defense last week. They should have lost. They were very lucky to win that game. But a win is a win, obviously. And I think the Ravens, the Commanders could win the game. They certainly can win the game because of the vulnerability in the Ravens' defense. Now, Lamar Jackson is great. We know that. And it'll be a tough out, especially playing in Baltimore. But if they lose, you know, Lamar's not going to suddenly turn around and not be a good player. He's mm-hmm. a very good player. We know that.
He's proven commodity. He's
proven that. Right, exactly. And so if they were to lose and be 4-2, especially in the division they're in, I wouldn't panic. I still don't think the Cowboys are any good. The Eagles are a question mark. And the Giants, even though they won last week, I was stunned by that, just aren't very good. So I think they have an excellent chance to win the division, regardless of the outcome on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reasonable take.
The Ravens, that is.
No,
the Commanders. Ravens,
yes, but also the Commanders.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right. That's what I said. I don't think it's going to affect them either way down the stretch.
No, well, what it could do if they were to win was give them a jolt of confidence in terms of how good they are, because this is the best team they've played. They have not played a tough schedule to date, but a lot of times in the past they haven't played a tough schedule and they'd be 1-4 or 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-1, and clearly they have a great young quarterback. I felt that way. Somebody wrote something about the comparisons to Robert Griffin III mm-hmm. are wrong. I think they're right. He was great as a rookie. He was the rookie of the year. He led them to the playoffs, and then the injuries started. But my sense is, I think Daniels is a lot brighter than Griffin. A lot of us, me included, mistook Griffin being articulate, which he was and is, mm-hmm. For being smart. I don't think he was that smart. I think he and his dad handled everything wrong after he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And the giveaway to me, by the way, had nothing to do with injuries or running out of the pocket. He got married during that offseason, and fans being fans sent he and his wife to be all these wedding gifts. And instead of just posting something like, you know, please, this is completely unnecessary, it's very nice of you, mm-hmm. he posted pictures of the gifts,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is like, look how famous I am. Look how popular I am.
Right.
And you just don't need to do that.
Well, I think fair enough. But I think that what differentiates him in Jaden, we've had this argument and everyone's sick of talking about it, but that we didn't know it at the time. But Robert just didn't have the as big a toolbox. He couldn't throw guys open. He couldn't play from the pocket and win pre-injury. He was limited. They were running a gimmicky offense. It was the right time, right guy at that moment. But he wasn't as fully developed as Jaden. Jaden's just better. He has a bigger toolbox.
Well, remember, Robert played 3 years in college. Jaden played 5.
For sure.
And that makes a difference. But the other thing is, we'll never know what would have happened with Robert if he had stayed healthy and if he'd been willing to be coached by someone other than his dad. We'll just never know. I still mm-hmm. think it gets back to him not being that smart. Mm-hmm. And Jaden, I don't know him, but he appears to be a bright guy who will mm-hmm. adapt and will adjust and will work to improve and hopefully won't get hurt.
Are you surprised that RG3 tweeted this out yesterday? He tweeted, Jaden Daniels will finish what we started and be the franchise quarterback the city deserves. He always inserts himself in the conversation.
The guy's an egomaniac. Of course you're not surprised.
How many guys are on the team today who are on the team with him?
It's got to be zero.
Got to be zero, right?
Yeah, so I mean, that was 12 years ago.
Finishing that they started.
Yeah. That's like Ron.
It goes back to me believing that Robert Griffin III, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't think he's that bright.
That's like Ron saying, send me a Super Bowl ring when all of the players that I collected for the Commanders eventually win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just laughable.
That would be closer to accurate since some of the players on this team did come in under Rivera.
That's true, but Adam Peters is doing his best to weed them out.
Last year to get them to the second pick in Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Well, there is some connection.
That is the one saving grace for Ron is that he was so bad that they were in position to draft Jaden Daniels.
You have to thank him for the unintentional tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the San Diego Padres played a role in the Nats winning the World Series because they won their last three games in 2009 and allowed them to get Strasburg with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Who, in spite of all of his injuries, was great in 2019.
Right.
Will you be watching the Ravens Commanders game?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll watch it for sure.
And you'll be rooting for the Ravens.
It should be
probably
a good football game. Yeah, of course I'll root for the Ravens.
Right.
I don't have anything against the Commanders the way I did when Snyder owned the team. But right, you know, I have a connection to the Ravens organization, and I still know a lot of guys over there.
Do you stay in touch with, I mean, have you ever had a relationship with Bisciotti?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Bisciotti was the one who put me in position to do the book. Okay. He went to Ozzie Newsome and Brian Billick and said, I want you to talk to this guy. And it's funny because I had a meeting with Ozzie and Billick and Bisciotti and Kevin Byrne, who was the PR guy at the time. And Ozzie's opening gambit was, ESPN pays us millions of dollars every year, and I don't let them in my draft room. Why would I let you in? And I said, because I don't come with a camera.
That's true.
And I can put whatever happens in context when I write about it, and I won't be writing about it for months. Ozzie and I eventually had a very good relationship, but he was extremely suspicious of me. And there's no doubt in my mind that the only reason he agreed to let me in was because Steve told him to.
Right. He doesn't seem nearly as visible as he was in the earlier years. Not that he was super visible, but.
You're talking about Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never wanted to be visible.
Uh-huh.
He's always liked being in the background. In fact, when I was doing the book, one of the things he said to me was, all I ask of Ozzie is before he makes a big move, to let me know about it. Not to ask about it, but to let me know about it so I don't find out about it from my friends.
Right.
And he's that kind of owner. He lets the people he's hired to do their jobs do their jobs. That doesn't mean he doesn't have opinions. Of course he does. But he's never been an owner. He has one press conference at the end of the season every year. He will, talk on the record when something major happens that requires the owner to say something. But he's perfectly happy just sitting in his box with his buddies and smoking a cigar and watching a game.
Hey,
he ain't no Dan Snyder, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Right. Man, I wonder where Snyder is.
I don't even care about where he is.
I mean, no one cares. I just wonder where he is.
I hope he's out on his yacht in the middle of the Mediterranean, just away from the rest of society. That's right. Fine by me.
That would be a good thing for society.
It would be,
why
yes.
Couldn't he have been on a yacht in the Gulf of Mexico when Milton came through? Hey, so let's...
Even I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No, I've said it many times before, John. I would love it if his boat sank with nobody on it, no casualties.
Yeah.
That would make
me be fine.
Slap my knee.
That'd be fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I don't wish anybody dead.
No.
All right, I was kidding. hey, John,
what?
There's a chance, all right? Now, look, they both have to play Notre Dame.
Yep.
But if you look at the remaining schedules, there's a chance, and maybe it's a smaller chance, but there's a chance Army-Navy could be 10-1 each when they face each other.
And could face each other twice.
That's true.
Because Army is now in the same conference.
They're both in the American. Correct.
And if they finish 1-2 or tied for first or whatever, they would play in the championship game the week before the Army-Navy game.
Yep.
And a lot of my Army and Navy friends are asking me, well, which would you rather win if you're Army or Navy? I still say it's the CIC because that's the number one goal every year at both schools, to win the CIC.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be weird that they would play on Saturday for a conference championship and then play again the next Saturday for the CIC.
Man, that's crazy.
And that's what happens when they get in the same conference. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but Army was given the easiest schedule in the conference. And they're good, don't get me wrong. And I'm glad they're winning. But Navy had to play Memphis the third week. They still have to play Tulane. Army doesn't have to play either one of them. So, and Navy beat Memphis. So there's a decent chance what you're talking about, Jason, could happen.
Yeah.
They could be 10-1 each playing the first Saturday in December, and then one would be 10-2, the other would be 11-1 playing the next Saturday.
Yeah, I think they both get Notre Dame at home this year.
No.
They don't?
Neither one of them ever plays Notre Dame at home.
They're
That's
neutral.
One of the
oh, guys. They're both neutral. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
The quote-unquote neutral with 75% of the crowd being Notre Dame fans.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that's what always happens. And I have complained for years, dating back to when I did the book in 95, about Navy's relationship with Notre Dame, where they play every year, and there's a big deal made out of the fact that until COVID, they had played every year since 1927. Notre Dame gets a home game, then they get a quote-unquote neutral site game, which on their schedule they say at Navy, which it's not. And Notre Dame already has every advantage there is in college football. You know, they can get all the players they want. They send, 10 guys to the NFL every year. Navy almost never sends anybody to the NFL. And I know from experience that when you play at Notre Dame, the refs are like another team helping Notre Dame. I mean, some of the calls are just unreal, including the famous one in 1999 when Navy had won the game. 4th and 10, they're up 4. And they throw a pass, and it's clearly a yard short. Clearly a yard short. Pat Hayden says on the NBC broadcast, that's it. Navy's done it. They've broken the streak. And then the line judge, a guy named Perry Hudspeth, never forget that name, walked in and picked the ball up and moved it up a yard. And they made the first down by about 3 inches and then went on and scored the winning touchdown.
Wow.
And whenever a referee, and when I was doing the Navy games on radio, whenever an official from that point on screwed up a play, I said he made a Perry Hudspeth.
Wow, what happened to Perry?
He kept officiating until he retired. And when he retired, somebody asked him in a hometown newspaper story about the play. And he said, well, my supervisor backed me up on that call. Well, of course he did.
Is the Army, the Army-Navy game this year is here locally, isn't it? Is it at Northwest?
Right. Yeah, it's in the stadium formerly named for Jack Hancock, yes. Yeah.
All right, John, we will talk to you.
You better leave damn early because of the traffic. It'll be a nightmare.
John, we'll talk to you next week. But real quick, I want you to do your favorite thing. Make a prediction on the Commanders-Ravens game. I know you love to do that.
I believe it'll start at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
All right. That's his call on the game.
Thank you,
That's
John.
That's my call on the game. Yeah. I think it'll be a hell of a game. I really do. I think it'll be like a 34-31 game.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
Thank you, John. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
It's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golftum, where they can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. You can get your game ready for fall golf. Golftum by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we'll make our predictions, and we'll open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. Want to hear from you. Who wins on Sunday? Do the Ravens